Welcome. I'm Julie Bowen, editor of Consultant Magazine, and I'm here today with Dr. Edward Shahady, who will talk to us about how group visits can help your patients with diabetes better control their disease. Dr. Shahady is clinical professor of family medicine at the University of Florida and the University of Miami, and medical director of the Diabetes Master Clinician Program of the Florida Academy of Family Physicians Foundation in Jacksonville. In part one of this two-part interview, Dr. Shahady discussed the benefits of group visits for diabetes. Here he will explain the practical details of how to conduct group visits in your practice. Dr. Shahady, could you start off by telling us how well group visits are received by patients? How many are interested in signing up, and how many return for subsequent visits?
Excellent points, Julie. Not everybody comes initially. You know, if they just don't buy that. Maybe 50-60% of the patients that you invite, and, you know, I'll tell them, I'm doing group visits in place of routine visits, and I'd like for you to consider that. And some of them say, I'm afraid to come. And when they come, you might lose another 10 or 15%, but the ones that stay really love it. And some of the things they say they love is, I love hearing from other people. I love the extra time I now give with my doctor and my nurse or medical assistant, although I may only spend 5 minutes directly with them. They're in the same room where I am talking to other people. They see themselves with me. So I think that's one of the things that they really appreciate. And they see a different side of their doctor and nurse, a more human side. Mm-hmm. You know, because we all reveal, you know, some of our frustrations, and I share with them, I'm frustrated. And sometimes I'll ask them, I get frustrated because I'm not able to get you to where goal is. How do you suggest I do that? And they offer me suggestions. So it's a very supportive atmosphere, and it gets that. The bottom line is getting more people to go and saving their eyes and their kidneys, preventing heart attacks, strokes, amputations, blindness. So it's a very win-win-win situation all around.
Now, how do you select patients for the group? What kind of a mix are you looking for?
Okay, again, you know, excellent points. And We try to get a good mix. Now, we don't put teenagers in with adults. We have the teenagers, we think they need their own little group. But for adults, and most diabetics are type 2, and that means they're over 40, 45. So we mix our all ethnic groups, all sexes, you know, in together. And it seems to do well, you know, with it. I thought I have the males and females. Some people say, well, I'm with all the women together. Well, I think that the women can help the man and the man can help the women. So I like to have a good mix of patients, you know, with that. And how do we select them? We, probably the majority of people, about 80 or 90%, are the ones that aren't achieving goal. Now, we do get a couple, what we call ringers in there. If I have someone that wasn't achieving goal and now they're doing better, I help them come in there to say, okay, would you come? And they still want to improve themselves a little bit, but they say they've gone from the hemoglobin A1C 11, and they're now in the 7.5. They'd like to get it below that. But I say, boy, just to come in and share your story when somebody says they can't do it. So, and by the way, the way we can do this is, I mentioned we have a registry, so we know all of our patients who aren't reaching their A1C goals or LDL or blood pressure. And those are the ones we invite because they're the ones that the usual one-to-one care is not working on. If one-to-one care is working, mm-hmm. we don't use group visits for that. Okay. We do it with the people who have most difficulty achieving their goals.
How long does an average group visit last, and how frequently do these groups meet?
Okay. The average one is about probably 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Now, as I mentioned, the first hour and 15 minutes is done by a staff member. That's when they come in, they have their vital signs, they probably come in waves. If there's 10 people, there'll be 5 come, at one time, they get their blood pressure, their weight, and they get their report cards, and then they go in and we have healthy snacks sitting in there. And then the next five come, and they get their blood pressure and weight. And they're in there with my assistant for an hour, and then I come in the next hour. The time, we have a routine of three group visits separated by 8 weeks. So over maybe a 4 or 5 month period, we'll get in three group visits, and we want the same group to come. And we're hoping over that period of time that we're going to see changes, because we'll have all their lab values at the beginning and their lab values in the visit when they come back for their last visit. And if we see positive changes, then we say, okay, we ask them what they want to do. Some of them still want to continue in a group visit. Some say, okay, we've achieved the goal, you know, I'll go back to my routine care. Now, that's sort of the way I'm doing them now, but there are many physicians that this is the way they handle all their routine diabetes visits, if the patient will do it. They'll say, I'll see you maybe once a year in my office where we can do a complete physical and all your preventive stuff like mammograms, pap smears, etc. But for your diabetes, because diabetes is all about education. So for your diabetes, I'd like to have you come to a group visit every 3 to 6 months. And that'll be your diabetes visit. It's much more powerful because you can do much more effective education in a group visit.
Now, Dr. Shahidi, what about patients with limited English proficiency and literacy? Can they participate in group visits?
Yeah, good question. And you almost talk about what type of patient can you give in. They're like, I might say if someone has severe mental issues, we have to be careful. You know, I've had a patient who we didn't know was schizophrenic, and they went off their medication, and that obviously was very disruptive to the group. So we have to be careful for that. When I was at the University of Miami, we had patients that, you know, English was their second language. You know, they were from Haiti. They were from many of them Spanish-speaking. And, of course, I learned to speak Spanglish, so that helped a little bit. But they can do very well, and many times they have to have somebody with them. I don't like to have them with an interpreter because I find it, because you're, what you have to interpret is subtle and nonverbals, and the interpreter many times is going to pass that over and just give me the word. So I like to do them, and of course knowing a little bit of Spanish help, but they help each other. So a patient's having trouble getting a clear thing, or I have another patient speak English and Spanish very well, and the other patient will explain it to them. So, yes, you can get to be a little bit more patient. Now, literacy, yes, we have people that can't read, but sometimes we don't know that, and we discover it in a group visit. I had one patient, we were looking at a simple handout, and he had it upside down, was shaking his head yes, that he understood it. And that was the first tip that we knew he couldn't read. So it's more difficult for them, but we like to, this is a way to discover their literacy level. And like if after 3 months they haven't budged any, and we realize that there's great difficulties, we try to find out why. Is it literacy is the issue? Depression, that's a common problem. 66% of diabetics are depressed. So we might give a depression questionnaire. And if they have an extreme literacy issue, we find that out, we may have to have a special educational session for them. Of course, the challenge with that is if they don't have insurance, it's very difficult to get that reimbursed. It's a little bit easier in the academic setting because we have a lot more options for them. But in the private practice setting, it's very difficult for patients with minimal literacy to achieve, you know, to get the diabetes education and care that we'd like for them to have. But that's pretty much it on how we deal with people who might have limited language issues.
Now, Dr. Shahidi, you had mentioned reimbursement. How is billing handled for group visits?
The way we do it, we charge what's called an E&M code, and we use the two codes, 992-1413, and some of our clinicians even use a 1-5. The key to that is documentation, and we actually have a handout we give to anybody we train to do these, is that we you have to document it. You're going to charge that 99214. It's moderate complexity, and you've got to meet all the Medicare standards for that. And a lot of people think that that means you have to go in a room separately with them and do a physical exam. No, it's less face-to-face, but I am face-to-face with every one of those patients as I'm doing that, and I'm paying attention to each one of them, their issues, their report card. And so as long as you document you've gone over all that, you can charge a 99214. And then, of course, if the ICD-9 code is extremely important, too. A lot of times physicians will delegate all the coding to a staff person, and they put down what 250.00, which is type 2 controlled. Well, it's hard to justify moderate complexity if you have a patient that's under control by the diagnostic code. So doctors have to know how to do that coding, and that's also on this handout. And I think you're going to mention, Julie, you're going to mention somewhere along the line our website and how they can reach that?
Yes, actually, I would, because I noticed that you had a lot of resources about specific issues, billing and other things about forms for patients, letters for patients are available on your website. And I believe that's www.fafp.org/diabetes_mc.html.
That's correct, Julie. Let me repeat that. I don't know if people were able to write that down, you know, and it's www.fafp, Florida Academy Family Physicians.org, and then the /diabetes_mcmarycharlie.html. And when you open that up, there's a large number of articles there. Number 18 is what you want to click on. Look down, and that's where group visits are. And you'll see actually two articles. The second is the one I'm referencing about all those, how to charge, how to code, how to document, how to get prepared, what have you. So it's really a valuable link. We use that for teaching all of our members of our diabetes collaborative.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Shahady. I appreciate your taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure, Julie. Always good to be with you.